I'm going to lift this up here because I'm not a hobbit. So. But if I were, it'd be kind of cool. Because I'm nerdy like that. Right. Well, hoping you can see. Okay. We're in Psalm 119 this evening. And we're just, not 119, Psalm 19 this evening. And we're only going to read one verse together. Actually, only the first half of one verse. It's not because I'm taking it out of context. It's not because I don't have anything better to say, but I feel that this phrase is the best way for me to illustrate what I'm going to say. Tonight we are talking about space. Now, I told you that I'm a nerd just now. That means that I like Star Trek and Star Wars and all that kind of stuff. That's just, since I was a kid, I've loved that kind of stuff. But you know what? Most of that is, actually all of that, is science fiction. But we're not looking at science fiction tonight. We're looking at reality. We're looking at what's real. And let's read Psalm 19, verse number 1. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." So we're going to focus on the first half of that verse. The heavens declare the glory of God. You know, for thousands of years, mankind has been studying the stars. For thousands of years now. You know, they've been fascinated by them, studying the stars and the planets and all of that. But we've only been able to actually travel into space for less than a century. Do you know that? Only less than a century have we actually been able to travel into space. By the way, that's less than 100 years. And that includes having satellites to see things that we wouldn't normally be able to see without the help of satellites. And a few centuries ago, almost all scientists believed in what the Bible teaches about creation. However, by the time the first astronaut was launched into space, most scientists believed that the planets and stars in our solar system appeared without the help of God. So what I want you to understand is this. Many people say this, that the reason so many people believe today in evolution is because of what we observe in outer space. And that is not true. It's not true. People began believing this over 100 years before we ever went into space because of the theories of people like Charles Darwin and Lyell and people like that. Not because of evidence in space. They started believing it because of a theory. In fact, I believe the exact opposite is true. What we view in space actually shows us how glorious the Creator of heaven and earth actually is. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." You know, as we saw yesterday, in the very beginning, the heavens declare the glory of God. In the very beginning of time, God created the heavens and the earth, meaning that God created all of the galaxies and solar system. God created the universe, is what it means. The heavens is referring to outer space. Now I've often heard people say that our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, has many stars. But actually, you know, there's actually only one star in our galaxy. And it's the sun. The sun is the only star in our galaxy. Now, there are other galaxies where there are stars that they can see with different telescopes and things like that. There's actually only one true star in our galaxy, and it's the sun. There are 8 planets in our galaxy. We know this. That Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune. Now, Pluto used to be considered a planet, but now Pluto's kind of in the naughty seat. No, I'm just kidding. Pluto is no longer considered a planet for a reason. So now we say that there are only 8 planets, whereas people used to think that there were 9 planets. So let's talk about these planets for a moment. All 8 planets in our solar system rotate around our sun. The closest planet to our sun is what?
Mercury.
Right, it's Mercury. It's about 57 million miles away from the sun. And that's the closest one to the sun. It only takes Mercury 88 days to orbit all the way around the sun. What that means is that 1 year on Mercury is only 88 days. Now, because Mercury is so close to the sun, it can get up to 427 degrees Celsius. It's really hot. I felt like it was hot while we were walking around today, but that's nothing. The farthest planet from the sun is not Mercury. The farthest planet from the sun is what?
Neptune.
Not Pluto. Pluto's not a planet. Neptune. Yes. Sorry. That was savage. I can't believe I just shot him down like that. Yes, it's Neptune. It's Neptune. Neptune is approximately 2.8 billion miles. That's 4.5 billion kilometers from the sun. It's so far away from the Earth that you actually can't even see it without precise telescopes. That's how far away it is in our solar system. We don't truly know how far away Neptune is. The only way that they have some type of estimation of how far Neptune is away from us is by maths. So they do the maths and they come up with an estimation as to how far away Pluto is. But if it is that far away from the sun, Neptune, not Pluto. Pluto's not the planet. Shot myself down. But if it is that far away from the sun, it would take Neptune approximately 164 years just to orbit the sun once. 164 years just to go around a 164-year. Isn't that insane? So let's talk about the sun for a moment before we move on. The sun. Just how big is the sun? The full diameter of the sun is about 865,000 feet. Now that's 1.4 million kilometers. Now look at how big it is next to the other planets. The scale of the sun. So we have the largest planet here, Jupiter, and we have Earth all the way right here. So here's what I want you to understand about the sun. The sun is so big that it could fit 1,300,000 Earths inside of it. That's crazy, isn't it? And our sun is one of the smaller stars that we can actually see with telescopes. That's insane. The surface of the sun actually is about 5,550 degrees Celsius. The sun is about 93 million miles, I say about, no one really knows, but about 93 million miles away from Earth, about 150 million kilometers. In fact, because of this 5,550 degree surface of the sun, it's been said that if the Earth were only 5% closer to the sun, the Earth would be totally uninhabitable. And what that means, if we were just 5% closer to the sun, we would no longer be able to survive on this planet. So Earth is the third planet from the sun, and it's perfectly positioned for humans and animals and bugs and even the smallest organisms like bacteria and things like that. Earth is perfectly positioned in our solar system. It's no accident that we are here. There's a reason that we are exactly where we are in the solar system. And isn't it amazing that God made all of this? Now, I want to give you three ways that space declares the glory of God. Because it says that the heavens declare the glory of God. Three ways. Now, I'm going to give them all three to you at once, but we'll go through them step by step. The first way is this. Space tells us that God is powerful. That God is powerful. God created space. Now think how powerful he must have been to infuse the sun with so much energy that it would burn at 5,550 degrees Celsius and give enough light and warmth to sustain an entire solar system. All of those planets that we saw just a moment ago. God put that much energy in the sun. Now, heat's important, isn't it? Heat is a very important thing. Now, this room is pretty hot. I'm gonna have an experiment for a moment, okay? I'm going to take this with me so it can relationship with me. Okay, I'm experienced. I know what I'm doing. Right, I need a volunteer. Someone who thinks it's hot in here. Right? I believe Sabina. I really do. I believe that Sabina thinks it's very hot in here. Now, Sabina, I want you to follow me. Okay, come on. I'm just going to the door. You're going farther. Okay. We're going to walk to the back of the room here. Tell me your experience as soon as you walk out of this room. You're not out of the room yet.
It's cooler.
It's cooler. All right. Now, I want you to walk over to the dining room. I want you to open the door. And I want you to shout to everybody how it feels when you walk through that door.
It's cooler.
It's cooler. Thanks, Sabina. You can come back. Here's the point. The farther you get away from the heat, which is definitely in here right now, the cooler it gets. The farther you get away from the heat source, the cooler it gets. And that's why Neptune is what it is. It's freezing cold on Neptune. And that's why Venus, Mercury is what it is. It's so hot because of the heat. And I wish we could talk more about that, being so close to the sun. But think of how hot this room is and how cold it is the farther you get away from it. And there's a reason for that, because of heat, how essential it is for life given the right distance. Yeah. Now, if I'm out there sitting on the sofa out in the, what's this called out here? Foyer. Out in the foyer out here. If I'm sitting on the sofa out there, it's actually quite comfortable out there, isn't it? If you go in the dining room and the door's open, maybe it's a bit cool for some. And that's kind of where God placed earth, right? Just where it's just comfortable, where earth can be inhabited and feel so comfortable and just flourish. It's why we have all this green on our earth. It's why we have liquid water on our earth, like Darren talked about last night. And let me give you an illustration about light, the two things that the sun gives us. Now, have you ever tried to walk through a dark room at night? Right. Okay. Have you ever tried? Okay. We come here to camp and we're like, okay, we played hide and go seek in the dark, right? We played hide and seek in the dark now. So yeah, but have you ever tried it in a room that's really familiar to you? A room that you've walked through like hundreds or maybe thousands of times?
Yeah.
When the lights are off, how well can you navigate through that room? Listen, the little coffee table that you've slid around thousands of times suddenly becomes a knee breaker, doesn't it? Your kneecap is dislocated by something that you should have known was there. Walking in the dark is a very dangerous thing if you don't know where you're going, right? And it's all the more worse if you're a parent and you step on a Lego. You know, they say that a broken femur bone is the worst pain that you could experience, but we parents know that's not true. It's unexpectedly stepping on a Lego. That is true pain. But you know, we survive because, you know, first world problems, you know. But there's no greater pain. But the point is this, that we need light to survive. Just like we can't function on our earth without light, we need light for there to be survival. We need light, don't we?
Yeah.
But think about how great and mighty God is, that He created the sun in a moment. He created the sun in just a moment. He didn't just create our solar system. He gave it the light it needed to navigate and survive. I want you to think about a verse. I didn't put this on the screen, though I should have. It's in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. If you have it in your Bible, will you look with me? It's in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4 and verse number 6. Chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Now I want you to see how light is connected to the glory of God. So God causes the light of the gospel to shine in our hearts so that He might get glory. You know, God is so amazing in that He doesn't just leave us to sin, die and go to hell to pay for our sins. He has given us the light of the gospel so that we can have His light shining in our hearts. Now, please understand this. Light is not the absence of darkness. Did you know that? Light is not the absence of darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. Light makes darkness go away. Let's try an illustration here. Can someone back near the light switch turn the light off? Okay. It's got a little bit darker, hasn't it? Probably can't read your Bible quite as clearly as you could before. And because it's Britain, summertime is not as dark right now as it would be in other places that I'm accustomed to. But when you turn light off, it gets darker. Why? Because you've taken light away. Darkness is the absence of light. Light makes the darkness go away. Can you flick that on to me so I can see my notes now? Likewise, no matter how wicked a person is or has been, no matter how many sins a person has committed, the light of Jesus' gospel can totally cleanse that person from sin and make the darkness go away. So God is powerful. That's what space tells us. Number two, space tells us that God has a plan. God has a plan. The sun is in the center of all the planets, rotating perfectly at the same distance without veering off course and changing in order. We talked about that a moment ago in our skit. Or even worse, colliding with one another. You know, if all of the planets don't go in a perfect circle right around at the same degree, and they veer off, what can happen? Well, I want to tell you this. Before a planet ever even reaches Earth to collide it, it's going to make Earth uninhabitable. It's going to change things about our weather, and it's going to change things about our gravity. And very, very serious thing. But how do they stay on course, all of them? How do they just keep going around at the same kind of distance, though in their own orbit they might go in and out at times? How do they keep going around and around and around and stay on course? How do they function so orderly? It's because God supernaturally designed them that way. He had a plan, is what I'm trying to say. God always has a plan. Did you know He had a plan when mankind rebelled against God and sinned? Our sin separates us from God. And if we died separated from God, we'll go to hell forever separated from Him. But God had a plan. Just like He had a plan with the universe, God had a plan. God became a man, Jesus Christ, and He ultimately died on the cross for every sin that we've ever committed to rescue us and reconcile us to Him, to bring us back to Him. So that's wonderful to know that God has always had a plan. It's never out of God's control. Number three, space tells us that God should be at the center. Space tells us that God should be at the center. Can anyone tell me what day God created the heavens and the earth? I saw your hand first. The first day. Can anyone tell me what day God created the sun on? No. Anyone else know? Aaron?
Third?
You're getting closer. Fourth day. You knew that from the beginning, didn't you? You were just checking them to see if they knew. Yeah, the fourth day. So how did God light the solar system? Because remember on the first day He said, let there be light, and there was light. So how did God light the solar system for those first 3 days? He was the light. That's exactly what my notes say. Did you know that? You just quoted me. Yeah. He was the light. Now, the Bible calls the Lord Jesus Christ the light of the world. And it actually tells us that someday in heaven, there's not going to be a sun. That Jesus Himself specifically is going to be the light of all of heaven. That's how glorious Jesus is. That's how amazing Jesus is. That His light can light all of heaven for all of eternity. That's wonderful, isn't it? And think about this. Jesus was at the center of the solar system originally. I really believe that. Jesus was at the center of the solar system for those first 3 days. And you know what? He wants to be at the center of your life. He wants to be at the center of your life. And here's my question to you. Will you make Jesus the center of your life? We see the heavens, we see space, and we see how glorious God is. But just as He was the center of the solar system in the beginning, He wants to be the center of your life. You know, my greatest prayer request before coming here this week was that every person would make Christ the king of their life. They would serve Christ with everything that they have. That's my one, I want you to understand, that's still my one prayer. I'm looking out at all of the smiling faces, some of you not smiling, but most of you are smiling, and now that I've made a joke, more of you are smiling. And that's good, that's encouraging. But I look out and I see all of your faces, and my desire is still the same. And I think every leader here would say the same thing. What we want more than anything is not only for you all to be saved and have your sins forgiven, but we want you to make Jesus the king of your life. And my question is, are you willing to do that tonight? Right here, right now. Even as I'm speaking right now, maybe you think, I need to do that. And I want you to understand something. Jesus deserves that from you. Did you know that? He died for that right. He died so that He could have your life. Jesus deserves it. And because He deserves it, are you willing to, even where you're sitting right now, say, I'm willing to do that. To put Jesus at the center of my life. May God bless these thoughts to our hearts. Thank you very much for listening so well. Lord, we thank You for this. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for the gospel. And we thank You for these people. I pray that You would just work mightily in the hearts of everyone here. I pray that the word of God that's been given would fall upon good ground. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.